Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Happy Friday, everybody. Happy May. May 1st. We are already into the summer months, and it feels like it got nice again yesterday. A little cloudy yesterday in the morning, but it got nice in the afternoon, guys.
No, it's pretty. I'm sitting here looking out my windows now, and the skies are, I mean, there's nothing. It's just blue. It's light blue. It's just crazy. And not a cloud, not a nothing in the sky.
No, May around here is about as good as it gets. The weather here is always about right, but May is just about perfect. Before I forget, guys, did you guys get a chance to see that? It was on the SportsCenter Instagram account last night. The dad who tricked his kid about not giving him a birthday present and then gave him the bat out of the trunk. Did you guys see that by chance?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
LZ, I had tears running down my face as I'm watching this thing. Just to set it up, this guy tricks his kid into thinking he didn't buy him a birthday present. And the kid's kind of sulking and he's sad. And they get into the car. He's in his baseball uniform. And they go to the ballpark. And the dad says, hey, get something out of the trunk for me. There's a brand new baseball bat. And the kid breaks into tears because he's so overwhelmed. And he and his dad have a moment. Fast forward to the game. The kid hits a home run with this brand new bat. And the dad catches it on camera. And he's screaming and yelling. Everybody's having a great time. And not only does the kid hit a home run, his dad catches it standing in the outfield. I mean, it was just such an amazingly warm, kind, wonderful moment. I absolutely loved it.
Is this new or is it something that was in the archives?
New to me. I saw it yesterday.
It's older.
Older. Oh, okay.
It's older. Obviously, I mean, we're not having baseball games.
I know. That's why I asked, because I was like, so where are they playing at? Maybe I'll go watch.
Story. But it has picked up steam. Media. And it is beautiful. You know, I'm a sucker for any father-son, you know, bonding stuff like that. I'm a sucker for. Absolute sucker for. One, obviously, as someone who's a single dad for much of my time with my son as a kid, I know what those moments feel like, and they really register with me. But also, too, it's just nice to see the narrative being pushed back a little bit. You know, it's nice to see dads out there holding it down, being invested in their kids, as opposed to the way that sometimes we get characterized in popular culture.
Mm-hmm. I loved it. And I'm not a cry at the TV guy, and I literally had tears running down my face. It was such a – I love the word you used. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment, just really sweet and awesome. And, you know, not to bring us down, but it reminded me of the fact that we're not going to have the Little League World Series this year. That was another thing that got its plug pulled yesterday.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I like that. I mean, I don't think –
I don't think for one time outside when I was a kid, Travis, when I realized we wasn't going to the Little League World Series in the hood, I stopped watching. When I was a kid,
man, I couldn't disagree with you guys more.
When I was a kid, Travis, I had dreams of the Little League World Series. But playing at Dinker Park, that wasn't gonna happen. They just wasn't we wasn't gonna be invited, okay? So
maybe you just weren't good enough. You ever think about that?
No, we were a good team, but we just wasn't that wasn't going to happen. They wasn't coming into the city to get Little League baseball players to come and play.
Well, they don't come and select you. You gotta win all those tournaments to get
there. Yeah, but we wasn't in those tournaments is what I'm saying. They wasn't putting us in those. They wouldn't have allowed
you guys to be,
you know what I'm saying, though.
You guys can be Grinches all you want. I like the Little League World Series.
Yeah, you just don't understand, Travis. I'm trying to get you there.
I know what you're saying. I just don't want to talk about that.
They're not going to St. Andrews Park, Normandy, Dinker Park. They're not coming to get us. We didn't have our infields didn't have grass. Okay. No. It looked more like a softball field. Okay.
Well, hey, look, I don't know what it's like down there in the Dominican and Cuba, but they play on some pretty rotten field. Those guys are pretty good. Those guys can catch ground balls.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, my whole thing with Little League is just simply along the lines of what Key's talking about. It's like, who's Little League? Is it really everybody's Little League? Is it really as open as you want it to be? Or is it specialized?
And let some joy into your hearts. Come on, man. It's 12-year-old
kids playing baseball. Travis, I'm not this. I'm not militant. I'm not going all in like that. I'm just saying, when you grow up in an urban area with and they're not in these type of recreational parks that are run by the city of Los Angeles, they're not putting you in a position to go to the Little League World Series. I used to dream about it as a kid because I played baseball. So I was trying my best to figure out how to get to Chatsworth to go play with those dudes at the Little League World Series that would go and play. I couldn't figure out as a kid how to make it happen.
Be better.
And you know, I'm still mad about that whole disqualification for the Jackie Robinson that, West Little League. Right?
That was baloney.
So you know, Travis, you know me. You got to know me really well.
LZ,
like Michael Jordan, remember handshakes that didn't happen? I remember disqualifications that did happen.
Listen to me. I can't say this any more seriously than this, and then we'll move on. I would have fallen on the floor here in my garage had you not brought up that team during this conversation. I would be laying on the ground unconscious if that wouldn't have come up at some point. Brandon Cooks was talking yesterday, former Patriot, former Saint, and now former Ram and current Texan. Brandon Cooks says that the reason that he gets traded a lot is because people want him. This is the third time he's been traded. Here's Brandon Cooks.
And the way that I look at it, I take it as a positive in that I'm wanted and that I'm valued, you know, at a high level still to this day. You know, you look at all the trades, they all went for a first round and this one going for a second round. To be honest with you, I'm blessed to be able to go around and play with so many different teams and different quarterbacks and different organizations. And for me, I don't look at it as a negative at all. You know, I look at it as, you know, teams want me. You know, former teams feel like, man, gosh, this is such a great deal for both sides. You know, it's a win-win. You know, so I don't think of it as a negative. I look forward to it. I'm a guy that adjusts pretty quick. And wherever I go, like I tell people, I'm going to ball. So I'm not worried about that.
I think that most of the time when you hear something like that, you're like, yeah, right. That the reason that people move around is because, A, they're either a problem, or, B, people are desperate to try something. But in Brandon Cook's case, I think he's absolutely right, because what comes back the other way is almost always a first-round pick or a very, very good haul of draft picks when you make a move for Brandon Cooks. He never gets traded for spare parts. He always gets traded for high, high-value items.
Yeah, and Brandon Cooks must have heard me somewhere along the way because I agree with him 150%. I've always said, even in my own career, obviously, I got value because they won't let me hit the free agent market. They won't just let me get to the streets. So you obviously have value. Somebody wants you. When people want you and they want to sign you and they want to trade for you, it's because you got value, because you can enhance their team. You're part of their team that can enhance them and help them win games. So he's 100% right. People, and you're right too, Travis, to a degree. Guys move around for various reasons, but a lot of the times when you see guys, you automatically assume he's being traded because it's something negative. And that's not necessarily the case all the time, but it is some of the time. I mean, I got traded from the Tampa Bay Bucks to the Dallas Cowboys. It wasn't necessarily a negative thing. It was, I want to get out of here to go somewhere where I can deal, where I can be with people that I trust and that trust me. It doesn't mean I can't still play here. I can still play, but I don't want to play here. I want to move from this particular situation to another. Brandon Cooks didn't ask to be traded from New Orleans to New England. New Orleans felt it was good to get a one and get him out of there so they don't have to pay him. The same thing New England said for the year. They said, we could use you to get to the Super Bowl. Okay, we can get a one. Let's move him to the Rams. The Rams said, okay, he's banged up. He has a high salary. Houston, Texas just got rid of DeAndre Hopkins. They're willing to give us something, and we can replace DeAndre Hopkins with a player that we think can do the same things for us, so let's pick that up. That's all great things. Nothing wrong with that. And on top of that, keep doing what you're doing. Keep balling. Don't pay attention to what the naysayers say, because they're going to always have something to say. People going to always chirp. That's what they do. If they ain't saying nothing, they ain't talking about you, then you must not be important.
You know, I'm happy to see, you know, he's got this viewpoint in terms of being traded, because to an extent, it is true. He is wanted. But if someone's letting you go, that means somebody else doesn't want you. And you can look at it as feeling hurt and upset because some people take it that way. I mean, we certainly know that from just the young Lakers and when their names were being mentioned in trade rumors. You didn't hear them say, hey, that means somebody wants me. They were focusing on the Lakers didn't want them and feeling rejected. So it's good to see that Brandon Cooks has the other way of looking at it, which is I'm desired. Teams are willing to give up good stuff to, for my talents, and I'm going to keep it moving. It's a positive outlook, especially as a professional athlete, because you're going to be traded.
But as far as the Lakers go, them young dudes was being moved to get an asset that was better than them. Yeah, so they can't feel – they can feel whatever they want to. 9 times out of 10, everybody in the NBA making that same move. Every executive in the NBA making that move.
Stay with Cooks for a second, the idea of him going from New Orleans to New England, from New England to L.A., all of those things made a lot of sense, and I'm with him on that. The one, though, with the Rams sending him to the Texans is the first one that you go – it has nothing to do with Brandon Cooks' ability to play football. It has everything to do with his ability to stay on the field. He's been concussed a bunch. And the last one that he got was a hit that you would not have expected to result in a concussion, and yet he did miss some time because of it. I just wonder that because of his size and because of his history of concussions, if at this point you aren't thinking, you know what, I'm better off not having him than having him.
Well, it certainly played a role, I would assume, in making a decision on from him. They got everything that they felt they can get out of Brandon Cooks, which is helping them get to a championship in 2 years, compiling whatever 1,700-plus yards. They felt like, okay, we can't get any more out of him, so it's time to move on from him because where we're trying to go, he can't help us get there because he's not on the field enough. Houston's okay with that. They're not concerned with the same things that the Rams are concerned with. The Rams was concerned with Todd Gurley's health. Atlanta's not concerned with that right now. So every team has different views of what they want from their players and how they look at their players. When you say, LZ, that because a team moves you means that they don't want you, well, it's not that they don't want you. It's just that maybe their plans for what you were for them has changed, you know. And so it's like, well, Brandon Cooks moved. Well, yeah, a bunch of concussions. Todd Gurley's moved because he's been hurt. So they want to try something different, but other teams are picking them up because they feel they can help you. It's just like us on these radio stations and TV shows. Just because we leave ESPN and go to Fox doesn't mean that ESPN doesn't want us. Maybe we don't fit into their long-term plans, but we fit into Fox's long-term plans or NBC's. That's how it goes.
Another day, another story from Isaiah Thomas. We'll tell you what the latest is on the morning show on 710 ESPN. Happy May to everybody out there. Hope your weekend is getting off to a good start. Hope you have some plans, whatever plans you can make. Hope you get to enjoy them a little bit along the way. It's so funny to me. The more I think about it, and obviously The Last Dance is coming up again on Sunday. Episodes 5 and 6 are going to air at 6 o'clock on ESPN. You can stream them on the ESPN app as well. You can catch up on the other 4 episodes, ESPN On Demand and the app. You can do that whenever you're ready to go do it. But Michael called out Isaiah for being the guy that changes the story based on what the perception at the time is. And then Isaiah went and did exactly that. I mean, Isaiah, in the last day or two, said that Michael Jordan is the 4th best player that he ever played against, after saying publicly before that Michael Jordan's the greatest player of all time. It's petty, and I guess Michael's petty too, guys, but it just seems that Isaiah is acting exactly like Michael said he would.
But Michael's not petty.
Yes, he is.
How is he petty? I don't understand.
Did you not see the Hall of Fame acceptance speech?
Petty? How is he petty? Because he's holding on to something that is dear to him. Why is that petty? Because you don't like the fact that he went after certain people in his Hall of Fame speech? You wanted his speech to be what? A tearjerker? If it wasn't a tearjerker, it wasn't a great speech in your eyes, not in his.
All right,
not in his. And I would have said the same thing when he gave his speech. Like, I get so tired of people always saying these guys are petty because they do things the way they want to do them. he's holding on to them beating him up at going to the cup and not handshaking. So he brings it out and says it, or he takes him and puts him off the allegedly takes him off the Olympic team before he was on the Olympic team, and that's petty. No, it ain't. No, it's not.
You're literally saying the definition of the word petty as you're defending Michael Jordan for being petty.
It's not. That's the way y'all view it. It's not petty.
No, there is there are some universal truths on pettiness, and that is that quality. Because look, let me try it this way. Usually, after 30 years, some things that bothered you 30 years ago kind of had faded, and you're kind of over it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it bothered me at the time, and it's still, if I really sit around and think about it, I don't love how it went down. But after 30 years, the sharp edge of most of those things has gone away.
I want you and LZ to think of it this way. Hypothetically, let's assume, let's just be dark for a minute. If they'd have filed him and he'd have tore up everything? It wouldn't be no flight. Wouldn't be no takeoff. What if all of a sudden he turned out, because once upon a time, Ron Harper was supposed to be Michael Jordan-ish until he tore his knees up. What if that would have happened to him? Even though it didn't. But what if? What if he's sitting there and he's thinking to himself that them damn dudes could have ruined me, and I wouldn't even be sitting here drinking my tequila that I made, drinking that in my big old luxury home in Florida with my billions of dollars if they didn't do that? What if that would have happened? Because you've seen it happen many times in one's careers where people done things to them and their careers were derailed.
Okay.
So, hell yeah, I'm holding on to it.
I don't think that most people look at Michael Jordan as petty. I don't think that that's the reputation that he carries.
But there's a lot of people that's trying to throw that out there, and it's wrong.
Isaiah, guys, is considered petty. He is considered dishonest. He is considered a guy that is – sneaky is the word that you always hear associated with Isaiah Thomas. And what he did, you know, Michael Jordan's the greatest player of all time. We have that quote from him from back in 99. Anybody that says otherwise isn't doing it right. And then in light of being called an a-hole on a documentary, he turns around and puts him forth. I mean, you talk about petty. I mean, the guy played right into the stereotype that we already thought that he had.
Yeah, you can't have a dude one year and then turn around
and then on top of that,
you ain't putting players that post Michael Jordan's career, those guys' careers in front of him on that list. You just shuffled the deck.
All right. So as I said before, Isaiah has changed his list multiple times. This isn't the first time he's changed the list. It may not be the last time he's changed the list. Other players have changed the list as well. I think you guys are spending too much time on the.
No, but if you're changing the list, though, Coach, you're changing the list to add people that's current. Not you ain't going on them five dudes and going in 1999, Michael Jordan 1, Kareem 3, Magic 2, Bird 4, and coming back around and saying, well, you know, I had 25 years to think about it. I'm going to shuffle the deck a little more.
Right.
You don't do that. You can say LeBron James is now in it, so it pushes Mike up or down. Or Kobe, it pushes him out, or such and such and such. It's like you could do that. Right? You could do that.
To me, the greatest player to ever play the game that I've ever seen is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Arguably the best basketball career ever. From grade school to high school to college to the NBA, there's never been a more dominant player that I've ever seen. Isaiah Thomas, 2017. You guys need to stop. This conversation Isaiah Thomas has had, he's moved this guy around many times since 1999. Yes, you can certainly look at this as he's only doing this in response to what Michael Jordan said to him on Sunday. But if you do a thorough search, you will see Isaiah Thomas has moved Michael Jordan up and down throughout the years. And oh, by the way, he's not the only one. Scottie Pippen moved Michael Jordan around.
But Magic not for Johnson, another guy that Magic hasn't Johnson, played him forever, LZ.
Magic Johnson has moved the guy around.
Pip is moving him around to put people like LeBron in. That's okay. He ain't going back and trying to rewrite it with five dudes that's all retired and in the Hall of Fame.
All right, so
there's a big difference there, LZ.
So I just read you a quote from 3 years ago before anyone saw The Last Dance, and he put Kareem number one. All right, so there you go.
But Kareem, look, like we've talked about before, guys, Kareem is an okay guy to have there. You can't tell me that Larry Bird is ahead of Michael Jordan. That's just insane. And as much Magic Johnson's my all-time favorite NBA player, I've never enjoyed watching somebody play basketball more than I enjoyed watching Magic play basketball. But Magic is not as good as Michael. I think Magic would probably say the same thing. And to have those guys ahead of him, it's stupid. It's just wrong.
Hey, do me a favor, LZ.
Yes, sir.
You're a journalist.
Almost.
You're
days.
Interviewing me right now. I had a list in 2017 that had Kareem number one. I also had a list in 1999 that had Michael Jordan number one. But I also got Kareem in a list in 2020 at number one. Ask me how I move it around and why I move it around. Ask me that.
Why don't you just say it? You set up the whole thing. Just why would you move it around? Why would you move it around?
I would move it around because I feel like it changes from time to time on how I feel about those particular players. That's how you answer that. You don't just throw it out there and make him number four on a list when you know damn well the consensus is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Jordan. That's the consensus.
And LeBron.
And LeBron's coming because he's still relatively new. Now, remember, this was the players that you played against. The question is the players you played against.
Sure.
Right.
So he ain't play against LeBron.
No.
So why would you have LeBron on the list, right?
No, you're right. In this case, about the player he's played against, you're right. LeBron would not be.
So if that's the case, if it's the players you played against and you had Kareem in 17, it's okay to move Kareem to 20. But in 99, you had Jordan. So what changed between 99, 17, and 20?
I don't know.
Okay, well, then don't try to. Boy, I'll eat you alive. Take the L.
Take what L? I literally just told you that he's moved this list around for many years. I've given you a real example of that, and you're talking about hypotheticals. I'm giving you facts.
Well, I'm going to give you a fact. Why?
The fact is he's moved it around.
Why?
Many times.
Why are you going from one thing in 99 to 17, but then here we are in 20, you just flipped it all the way to 4?
It's called evolution, man.
Oh, where was he at? Where was Jordan at in 17?
He didn't mention Jordan in 17.
Okay. Larry Bird, guys. Larry Bird. I mean, come on. It's silly.
All right.
It's
you
silly.
Know what? If we're gonna play psychologists, let's play psychologists. Larry Bird.
Yeah, we'll do it next.
Used to beat the crap out of Isaiah Thomas, but Isaiah Thomas has a very good winning record against Michael Jordan. There you have it. And the question was who you played against. So if you're always beating one guy, but another guy is always beating you, that could shape your perspective.
And one guy called you a name in front of 30 million people. That's
you
part of it, too. Pedro, excuse me, guys. Pedro Gomez is going to join us next. That's coming up on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
He was slick, trying to get me to have a sound bite that he could play over and over again. You ain't slick.
Joining us right now on the People's Hotline, the Sprint People's Hotline, no less, is friend of the show, covers Major League Baseball for ESPN, Pedro Gomez, checking Woo-hoo! In with us again. Good morning, Pedro. How are you?
I am well, boys. We're already in triple digits here in Arizona, so it's a little uncomfortable. But, hey, we'll take it over anything else.
You're
man,
in triple
I know
digits?
You got a place
wow.
with palos. I know that you already got your toes in the pool. You don't fool me.
Yeah, I've seen your backyard on TV, Pedro. It's pretty nice.
Somebody from Bristol called me and said, are you at Cliff Kingsbury's house?
must be nice to be part of Major League Baseball.
I will say this. I when we moved here 23 years ago, I wanted to have a mountain preserve lot, and that was like my key thing. and that was what we were able to get. It's a regular neighborhood. We just have a mountain behind us.
Yeah, regular neighborhood. All right, one percenter. Tell me about baseball.
I do my own lawn, my own gardening, everything.
When we moved here 23 years ago, I wanted a hillside property 23 years ago. That's all I wanted. Okay, all right. Well, this is all I want. I want baseball. So what are we doing?
He gets it. Why can't you get it, LZ?
Look, I'm not fronting. I got a pool. I'm in Arizona right with you. And as soon as I get off air, these toes are going in that water.
Okay, enough about y'all gloating about y'all fabulous lifestyles. Tell me what's going on with Major League Baseball. When are we getting it? What city, what state are we going to be in?
You know, they are still kicking around all different sorts of ideas. That's why every few days you hear of a different type of plan. But you know what? One of the things I'm hearing, guys, is that they're going to do everything in their power to try to get all 30 clubs to play in their home cities. There won't be any fans. It'll definitely be different. But they see a lot of advantages to the Dodgers playing at Dodger Stadium, to the Cubs playing at Wrigley Field. And, yes, that would include travel, obviously. But they do think that that could be a benefit for the league. Because if you have the Dodgers playing at a spring training facility in Arizona, yeah, they'll be, you know, Dodger fans will be excited, but it's not the same as seeing them play at Dodger Stadium, even if the place is empty. But again, there has absolutely been no decisions made. Nothing is final. They're just kicking around all sorts of different plans. You know, the three-division plan with 10 teams playing in Arizona, 10 in Texas, 10 in Florida, that also has merit. That could wind up being the plan because it does cut down significantly on travel. They're going to wait. They're going to wait and see. Look, some states have started opening up. We've seen that. If things don't spike in a couple of weeks, then baseball will say, okay, why don't we start moving the ball and start saying, oh, we're going to start on, you know, date X. And there is no date. Nobody has set a date yet, but they're going to observe what's going on, and that's going to play a big, big role. If things spike again now in 2 weeks, I don't know that we'll see baseball.
Pedro, in terms of the travel, because obviously we're talking about transferring from state to state, all the different things that's going on, and you said spike. That could add a spike. What happens in terms of the travel, though? Will it travel like normal on a commercial private jet? Will they have their own hotels? How would that go?
Well, I mean, they don't travel commercially. They haven't traveled commercially for decades, years.
I call it commercial private is what I call it.
Oh, yeah. But they'll, you know, they'll fly their charters. Their charters will be, you know, cleaned after every single use, before every single use. They'll do everything they can to eliminate the possibility that anything can happen. Look, I talked to a veteran player yesterday who told me, look, I'm not that worried about the players. We're all young. We're in good shape. I think we'd be okay. But we know that there are coaches and training staff who are definitely not in the right demographic. They tend to be older people. Those are the people that we really, really would have to worry about anything happening to. So, you know, these are all the realities of life in 2020 right now. And that's why I say everybody is going to be monitoring what happens in places like Georgia and Tennessee, the states that are starting to open up, Texas, to see what happens. And if there are spikes again, then not only will we probably not see baseball, I don't know that we're going to see the NFL at that point.
Hey. Pedro, let me ask you this. With the idea of the spikes that you mentioned and that has to not happen for them to get going, what has to happen for them to get going? Let's assume for a second that you don't get those spikes that you just mentioned, that Texas and Tennessee and some other places that are open are all of a sudden, you know what, it looks like we might be okay. What's the next step? What does baseball have to look for at that point?
At that point, they'll talk to government officials. They'll say, look, we think we can open up on June whatever, you know, and we'd like to start spring training at that point. I think you'll see every club head to their spring training facility for a very abbreviated spring, probably 2 weeks, 15 days, something along those lines. And then they'll be off and running to try to get in 100 game season or so. I think you'll see expanded rosters. Instead of a 26-man roster, you'll probably see 40, 45 guys that could be, and of those 40 or 45, let's say 30 are active on any given night. The others are just kind of a revolving taxi squad. If you pitched on a Tuesday, you won't be on the roster on Wednesday or Thursday, let's say, if you were a starting pitcher and went four or five innings, so that, you know, that roster spot can be filled. I think those are the things that they are discussing with the Players Association. A big obstacle here is then going to be how much pay do the players get? They're not going to get 100% of their salaries, but how much do they get? If there's a 100-game season, but that includes, let's say, 50, well, there, it doesn't even matter if you're a home game or not, but out of the 100, theoretically, 50 of those would be home games. Well, you're losing out on 50 days of parking, 50 days of concessions, 50 days of ticket sales. So that's where baseball makes about 50% of its revenue is off game day sales. The other 50% comes from national television and local radio, national television, local radio rights. So owners are going to be losing at least 50% of their money. Now, can they get the players to agree to significant pay cuts? That is going to be probably the biggest argument and obstacle.
I ain't giving none of it back, Pedro.
Pedro, is there a number in terms of number of games that executives feel is the absolute basement in terms of that could be played in order to have a salary season? Is it 100 games? Is it 80 games? Do we know anything like that?
There's not a fixed figure, but 100 seems to be the figure that they are the most comfortable with in terms of having a true regular season. It's still not 162, but 100 should be able to separate the better teams from the teams that wouldn't necessarily qualify for the playoffs. But having said that, we have seen where after 100 games, there is a surprise team up there. And one of the beauties of 162 is at the end of 162, you usually have won what you are supposed to win. At the end of 100, you could have a surprise in there. Somebody who played really, really well the first few months of the season and is still hanging in there after 100 games that could sneak in. But these are extraordinary circumstances. And look, if that happens, baseball will live with it. I think fans will live with it. And it would not be ideal, but that's just something that could happen.
Pedro Gomez covers baseball for ESPN. Pedro, go enjoy your backyard, and we'll talk to you real soon.
LZ, cocktail hour.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely.
Virtually.
All right. Thanks, Pedro. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, boys. Take care. Right, see you guys.
Take It or Shake It is coming up next. All right, Key, let's start with one of your former teams, the Dallas Cowboys. CeeDee Lamb is going to wear number 88 following Drew Pearson, Michael Irvin, and Dez Bryant. CeeDee Lamb is the next great Dallas Cowboy wide receiver. Take It or Shake It.
Take it.
Take it.
Yeah, hey, Key, listen, guys, we're 88.
I know I don't sound too confident, but.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Because when you great is such a, you know, when you use great, that word is man, we throw that way too much around in sports. I don't refer to people as great unless they are great. I refer to them as good or okay. But he's certainly on a team that's going to throw the football. Those guys that wore 88. You got two Hall of Famers, one in Drew Pearson that should be in the Hall of Fame, who's not, but should be. Michael Irvin, who is in the Hall of Fame. And Dez Bryant, who was having a Hall of Fame career until injuries caught up to him. So, it's
hard. Does he fit into that mold, Key? Is he on the level with any of those guys?
Well, he could be. He could certainly be on a level statistically in this day and age in
not statistically necessary, but just as far as just pure game. You're a receiver. You know game.
No. Playmaker was different. Drew Pearson was different. Dez Bryant at the top of his game was different. I don't see CeeDee Lamb as any of those guys. And frankly, I probably wouldn't even want 88 if I was him, just because.
That, yeah.
I just wouldn't want it.
Takes on a certain amount of weight. When you put on that number, there's certain numbers.
Well, it's not even the weight. It's just that somebody else in that has already done it. I don't want to. I'm gonna set my own path. That's the way I was. I didn't want number 80 as a wide receiver. Plus, it was ugly. So you know, 88 is ugly. As cold as Michael Irvin and Dez and all them was, 88 an ugly number, man. That's an ugly number. It's like all you can. 88 says all I can do is play receiver. I can't play nothing else.
You've explained a lot of things to me that I never would have figured out. That one I will never get. Ugly numbers. I don't get that one. But all right, let's move on. Here's Will Cain talking about Cam Newton and where he might go, in fact, right here in L.A. with the Rams.
Where can you be an insurgent? Where you can come in and do the Ryan Tannehill thing? Take a job from an incumbent? We probably should give more attention to Jared Goff and the Los Angeles Rams. At first you think, no. They paid Goff so much money, he's going to get every benefit of the doubt. How are you going to be able to take that job from Jared Goff? But as that team makes contractual salary cap related cuts, paying for the deals they've made in the past, they're going to have to find new ways to win. And those two new ways are going to fall on the shoulders of Sean McVay and Jared Goff. And if Jared Goff cannot rise to the occasion of lifting a lesser team up above its head, a guy like Cam Newton will be sitting there waiting to do just that.
Jared Goff should be looking over his shoulder for Cam Newton. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it.
What? Shake it.
That was fast.
Man. Because it's not. First of all, it's not going to happen. It's unrealistic. Jared Goff is not a bad quarterback. So let's stop trying to set the narrative as if he's just toast. He's not like that. He's a good quarterback. He just led the damn team to the Super Bowl a year ago, like two seasons ago. Better yet, stop trying to set that fire. I mean, I hate when people do that. Don't act like Jared Goff is a bad quarterback. There's 20 plus teams that would line up to sign him if they could. Right now, there's a starting quarterback. You think the New England Patriots wouldn't want Jared Goff or the Miami Dolphins?
So if there'd be 20 teams lining up to sign Jared Goff, why is nobody lining up to sign Cam Newton?
You think the Denver Broncos wouldn't? Well, because again, Cam Newton is coming off an injury plague season. Cam Newton is probably demanding certain things, and there's not that many job openings for starting quarterbacks for a guy that's in his 11th, 12th year. It's just it's right there in front of you. Miami Dolphins want to go young. They need a quarterback, but they want to go young, so they drafted Tua. The Chargers are doing whatever they decide to do. They never said no, though. That's the only thing. And I don't know what the New England Patriots, he just probably doesn't fit their style.
Okay, with that in mind, let's put a pin in Cam. We'll come back to it with this one. Andy Dalton was released yesterday by the Bengals. Andy Dalton will sign a deal with the team before Cam Newton. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
That's right. Yeah, we can all see it.
Take your time.
Take your time. he'll sign before camp because he'll probably sign with the New England Patriots. And the New England Patriots will give him a couple million dollars and he'll go play to try to resurrect his career. That's probably what's going to happen. So, therefore, he will sign before camp. It's not that he's a better quarterback. He's probably a better fit for New England than Cam Newton because of what New England wants to do.
If Cam's phone's not ringing for whatever reason, though, let's say that it's the money, let's say it's fit, does he have to change the demands that you mentioned? If there are demands that he's putting out there and everybody's saying, oh, okay, that's what you want to, I can't make that happen. Sorry, good luck to you. Does he have to change the demands?
No, I wouldn't. I made $100 million. I'm going to sit tight. I'm going to wait for you to beg me.
You might be sitting there waiting.
I'm going to wait. I'll wait. Not a problem.
I have never seen this. Now, I know, Key, you've played the game, but I've been in journalism for more than two decades. I have never seen a top-tier quarterback play chicken with the league before.
Top-tier.
Either you're not top-tier or you're on a team. I've never seen a top-tier QB.
How many times do I have to keep telling your ass, there's not that many teams available?
There's 32.
Listen, I'm just telling you, dog.
Stupid.
No, you're not remembering history. I've never seen a top-tier quarterback be forced to play chicken with the league.
You cannot take this style quarterback and plug him anywhere. It does not work.
All right, one more. Let's move on to the next one here.
Damn, y'all want to take this dude and just put him with a team that don't fit just because he's a quarterback.
Because college football is up in the air. Because we don't know about college football and kids getting back on campus and whether or not college football is going to start on time. The NFL should play on Saturdays as well as Sundays. Take it or shake it.
I mean, that's take it.
Take it.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, that's fine. They play on Saturdays every now and then at the end of the season anyway. So you can play on Saturday and Sunday. They play on Thursdays. Why not? Go ahead. Go ahead.
I think that if all of a sudden we have a sports calendar that is open, right, that if we have some stuff where there's some vacancies where there weren't before, like you said, Key, the reason they play on Saturdays at the end of the season is because college football is done. The bowl games haven't started. The regular season is over. So there's a vacancy. Why not fill that vacancy? Instead of having, 12 or 13 games on a Sunday, let's do 6 on a Saturday and 7 on a Sunday.
Let's do it. Sign me up, coach. I'm ready to play.
No downside that you can see.
No. What's you got a handful of Saturday games. You got a handful of Sundays. You get guys rest. But no, there's no downside to it.
The sanctity of the NFL Sunday.
It's going to be 18 weeks this year, right?
I don't think they're doing that yet. That's before the extra game comes in. The only thing that's changing for the upcoming season is the 7th playoff team.
Okay, so you're gonna play 17 weeks regardless. So
yeah,
whether it's a Saturday, Sunday, Thursday nights, Monday nights. So you got a game on Monday, Thursday, Saturday.
Dude, play Wednesday afternoon at 3:30 for all I care. Let's just play.
Let's get it on with.
Absolutely. Lenny Wilkins, the Hall of Famer, is going to join us next, and he's going to answer some questions that we have about The Last Dance and who wanted to guard who. That's coming up on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.